Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, August 15th, 2024. Have your host, James, here, and we're joined right now by our good friend and our new friend, Kazuha Tao. Kazuha, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Kazuha is the bilingual community health worker over at UW Extension. We appreciate our friends over there. Always good to talk with everybody from there. And great to have you in. This is our first show together, our first solo show together.
It is, and I'm really excited.
I did, if you don't mind, I did want to get to know you a little bit, if you don't mind. I always like to ask people their origin story and where they're from and what got them into doing this kind of work. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, what was it for you, Kazuha?
So I was born and raised in Wisconsin, so Wisconsin native, and I've always been the bridge. My parents were refugees from Thailand, and so growing up, I was always that bridge for my parents, whether it was at the grocery store or at hospital visits or anything. And so I was an interpreter. When letters came in, I always helped them until they were proficient with English. And so I've always wanted to make a difference in the Hmong community when I was little. And as I grew up, I decided I wanted to become a teacher. And eventually that dream came true, and I became an English language teacher here at Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools. And after so many years, I loved what I did. However, I always felt restrained because I could only do so much within that scope. In the education world, you can only help families so much without going outside of those boundaries.
Right.
And so when this position as a bilingual community health worker came up at UW Extension, I said, hey, that's exactly what I'm doing, and it's what I want to continue doing and growing. And so I went for it, and here I am. I'm here to help them.
And we're so happy that you're here. We're so happy to have you, not only us here at the station, but our community does. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we've needed for a long time, and not just our community, around the world, mm-hmm. and specifically here in America. We are a growing country. We are a country that constantly has new people coming into it and new people learning the language. Mm-hmm. I grew up around a lot of people that spoke a lot of different languages, mm-hmm. in a very mixed area in Chicago. And one of the things that I did and other kids did was helping. So say we're in a grocery store or something like that, and the lady in front of us doesn't speak perfect English or something, and the clerk is having a hard time. It was nothing to step in and say, hey, she means this, or something like that. Growing up, my father speaks very broken English. And he's an American, is 100%, but he even has bad English. So even explaining sometimes what he was saying is in Italian, what was oftentimes. But what you are doing is incredible, vital work in this community. And it's not only a great area that we've needed for a long time, but it makes our community that much stronger and better. It makes the members of our community feel more connected to that community as well. We can only strengthen the community. It really does have a lot of layers to it.
Correct. And, you know, I recently found out that in the Wisconsin Rapids area, the Hmong community has been a part of it for almost 40 years. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Hmong being in America for 50 years, so that's huge already. It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. However, so many Hmong community members have no clue what resources, mm-hmm. are available to them, mm-hmm. and what truly is out there. And so, like, my ultimate goal and mission with my position is to be that bridge to help them become with the bridge with healthier eating and active living and just behavioral health, because there's so much out there that are the unknowns. And so I want to be there for them. I want to be the resource, the connecting piece for different things. Like yesterday, for example, I had an elderly Hmong lady ask me about snow care in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. If I live by myself, if I can't do it, is there something out there that can help and support me? Or she was talking about raking leaves. And so, you know, I am that connection piece. They come to me, I help and direct them out into the community. If sometimes there's that language barrier, if they're there with me, I will make the call with them and be the connecting piece and being the interpreter, so that they don't have to worry about it once they get home, if they're living by themselves or if it truly is a language barrier at home as well.
What a resource, and what a thing to be able to have in our community. But I got to think too, very rewarding job.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. At the end of the day, even if it's a little, just a little thing, it makes it makes it all worth it.
Yeah. It's simplest of questions and a great example I appreciate you sharing with us. And most people out here, they already know this stuff and they don't even think twice about it. Probably known since you were a kid maybe what to do in those situations. But to whether it's a new member or just a person that's been in the community and maybe hasn't been able to ask or hasn't had somebody to ask or unfortunately afraid to ask, that's another factor in this too. And so it's another good reason to not only have you here but to have this opportunity to bridge those things.
Yes, definitely.
And when you mentioned that bridge, and a great word for this, by the way, how are some of the ways that you're helping with this, whether it's training classes or other things, Kazal?
So we at Extension, at UW Extension, we've always had multiple programs and groups ran in English. However, recently they've adapted it into the Hmong culture. They're making it culturally appropriate. Or translating the documents and curriculum into the Hmong language so that if somebody who can't read English are able to read Hmong, they can definitely look at it and be like, I can do this. And so one of the biggest things right now is Strong Bodies has been active in our community. We have a program running in Nakusa. However, that's an English-only program. And so starting next week, Tuesday, and then every Tuesday and Thursday for the next 8 weeks, I'm starting a Strong Bodies program for Hmong elders at the Hmong American Center here in Wisconsin Rapids. And so they're very excited about doing some strength training together. They're a really fun group. And then I'm also trained for Tai Chi for fall prevention and arthritis. And it's something that Jackie, one of my coworkers, and I were talking about possibly collaborating with the ADRC here in Wisconsin Rapids and offering it for the community, because that is something that's a high need and it's very relaxing. And the fall prevention is one of our biggest things that we focus on because we want everybody to be safe.
Yeah. First off, anybody, no matter who you are, can be benefited by Tai Chi. It is one of those things I was on the fence on. I tried it, and I still incorporate some of it in my workouts and everything. Great meditation piece, great way to relax and calm the mind and really give your almost self a refresh to the day, no matter when you're doing it. Mm-hmm. A great process. And I'm really glad that to hear how you're combining certain things too, because falls affects all of us, no matter what creed you are or what have you, as we get older. To be able to combine these and kind of, if you will, cover bases is really cool. And it's something that you guys at Extension do so well, the communication between different groups and you and Jackie working together or other things like that. It only makes our community that much better. That's a really cool idea. With these different, whether it's the Strong Body strength training class or Tai Chi and for fall prevention in arthritis, can people still sign up for these classes?
So Strong Bodies right now is closed for the group that I am starting. However, once Tai Chi for fall prevention and arthritis, it's in the planning process at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so for anybody who is interested, they are more than welcome to call our Wood County Extension office. Mm. They can definitely get on the list. Otherwise, we will be sending flyers out there via many like social platforms. And so just be on the lookout.
We'll keep you up to date on that here as well. And as we hear about it, we'll make sure the audience knows and get you a good audience for that one, a good group of people. Different groups to support stress reduction is something else you're working on, Kazal.
Yes, definitely.
Kazua. Sorry. I keep doing that. I'll just keep doing it. I'm going to keep saying your name so I get it right.
One of my biggest things besides the healthy eating and active living with the elders is mental health in the Hmong community. It is something that's very needed. However, something that's unspoken. I always say it's taboo to talk about it in the Hmong community. If we don't talk about it, it's not real. But it is there. It's been around for many, many years. It's just that no one really truly wants to acknowledge it. And so right now with my position, I am collaborating with the Family Center. They have a youth group at RAMS. And so I am going with them, and we are having monthly youth groups, Hmong youth groups. And hopefully our ultimate goal is to start it at RAMS when they're middle school, and by the time they get to Lincoln High School, they have strategies to help with stress, and they know how to process things or who they can rely on or just the different strategies and resources out there that's available to them.
When it comes to the topic of mental health, in the last handful of years, even before the pandemic, but certainly during and after the pandemic, this has become a hot topic and things that we talk quite a bit about. Mm-hmm. And so we've done a pretty good job there. But before that, we did not. We as a society did not cover this very well. And it's something that my family and I have been promoters of and talked about my whole life. And it's really cool to see everybody catching up to this and getting to this, but we are playing catch up with this topic. So things like this are not only ways for us to reach people earlier in life and help them get these tools to prepare and be more and more prepared, not only for high school, but as young adults and as adults and all of this, but there are things that and techniques and different things that they'll learn and do that they'll do the rest of their lives with this. This is the benefits of this never stop. They just continue. And it also gives people the tools to be able to figure out what works for them. Every mind is different. Every person is different. So what might work for me might not work for you. And understanding this is really part of it too. We still are in the early days of this stuff. So the more we work together and the more opportunities we have like this, the more we can really get data and understand, okay, hey, this is working, this is not, and all of us benefiting from it.
Oh, definitely. And like I said, you know, it's been around in the monk community forever. It's been around in the community as a whole, but in the monk community, it's a fairly new concept for people to understand. And so I want the kids to understand, but yet it's the educating the parents about it as well.
Yes.
Because if I can teach these kids strategies and give them different resources as much as I want, but if parents don't educate themselves about behavioral health and mental health, then we can make a little difference. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it is the parents that are going to take them to therapists or different resources that are out there. These kids need the support of their parents. And so it's bringing these kids together for support, teaching them all these different strategies and how to cope with stress and different things. However, at the same time, we're hoping to eventually educate the parents, bringing them in, just letting them know that it is truly different within the Hmong community. It looks different. However, it is there. And so for them to support their kids at home, whether it's and at school and just out in the community, so that we can grow and we can become a community as a whole.
And one of the things that I always like to bring attention to whenever we have the opportunity is the how we are more alike than not. And how we have more in common than not. Mm-hmm. And whether that is with people in your own community and you see somebody and you're like, we don't look anything alike, but you got a ton of things in common. It's the same thing with where my old neighborhood or this neighborhood or any of those things. Wherever you're listening, wherever you're from, mental health is a topic and it is something that we all could do better about, not just in society, but for each other and for ourselves. You do this work and it pays dividends right away. It's one of those things. You put in the work and it pays off. And not for nothing, it's on us as adults to do this for kids. Like, this is part of the job of being an adult. Just speaking for myself here, whether you have kids or not is not a part of this conversation. We're all adults and we all help raise these kids. We all as a society do. Kids aren't just paying attention to parents. They're paying attention to adults and how we handle things and how we go about things, the way we treat each other, the way we treat these topics. Mm-hmm. They are going to be taken over one day. I looked this up before we were talking. Turns out kids are the future. I was blown away by that. Didn't even know. So the more we do these things, the better that our future is going to be. This is an investment in that. It's a great idea, great program. I'm looking forward to talking again and talking, hearing how this is going and how it is working with not only that, but getting the Family Center involved as well. I should mention I'm on the board at the Family Center, and I always appreciate when we see nonprofits working together or different organizations kind of working together, similar to what you were saying with working with the Preventing Falls class and combining some of that and everything. We're only that much stronger and getting the information out maybe even to more people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. And I feel like one of the biggest things with my position and in my role and what I want to continue doing is partnering with community partners, and because I am that resource for so many families and so many people. However, I'm not the expert. And so being able to know who is able to offer what and what resources are out there and available to everybody, you know, that just comes with conversations and just being able to have that relationship with those community partners.
We're speaking with Kazuha Tao, a bilingual community health worker with our UW Extension friends. And before we wrap up, I did want to get into the teaching advocacy skills that you're doing through education. This is a very cool topic.
It is. And so whether it's really all across all age groups within the Hmong community, I always say, how do I teach advocacy without saying I'm teaching you how to advocate for yourself. Yeah. And so I, being from the world of education, I love just teaching and just having fun and just being able to see that light bulb go off. And so whether it's support groups or classes or things like that, I want them to understand what resources, like I said, is available to them in the community, what they can where they can go to if they wanted to have a Y membership, where they can go or how they can do that. Or if they wanted, like I said, snow removal, where can we find the resources there, or raking leaves, or I don't know how I can pay my electricity bill. You know, I want them to be able to, I can help them and guide them, but I want them to be able to raise their voices and eventually speak for themselves and advocate for themselves. So whether it's me holding their hand or me starting that conversation with them and then eventually having them finish that conversation, I want them to be able to advocate for themselves. And like I said, I don't want to say this is how you advocate for yourself. You do this, and it's a script. I want it to be real. And so, like I said, educating through advocacy, teaching them how to do that, it's just great, knowing that there's so much potential out there that they can do for themselves, but it's just the unknown. And once they know it, I'm hoping that they are independent and can do it for themselves.
I'm happy that and it's a great job by you outline-wise, because I'm happy we're wrapping up here. I feel like this encompasses so much of what we've talked about in the last half an hour and all the different things that you were covering and different work that you are doing over there with Extension. The empowering people is something that we can't do enough in life and society. And certainly people, you know, we've talked a lot about the youth and empowering them and making sure that they feel better as they go forward in life and not only are able to communicate and conversate and understand the world that they're in and the society, the town that they're in and those things, but feeling stronger and more confident going forward. This goes for adults too. And maybe even in some ways more so to adults that have lived in this country for a while or been here for any amount of time and not understood certain things or not been able to understand certain things or communicate certain stuff. Anybody, I've never been out of the country, but I mentioned Chicago, and there's plenty of parts of Chicago. You go to Little Russia, you go to Chinatown, you go to different places like that. And it isn't just walking in there and everything's in English. Everything's in a different language. Everybody's speaking a different language. Like, they don't just say it's Chinatown. Like, it truly is that environment. And I've been in a lot of those places, and it's confusing, and I don't understand stuff. But every person that I've ever run into in those worlds go out of their way to, what do you need, little boy? What do you need this or whatever as a kid? And stuff. And they do such a good job adapting to us. Here is an opportunity for us to adapt to them and to help and put a bridge out at that word again, that you, I love that word, making a bridge between this. Because this not only strengthens our community metaphorically, but it truly does literally strengthen our community. It's stronger. These are community members. These are taxpayers. Yeah. These are people that are adding to our community. They have jobs. They're neighbors. They are no different than any one of us, except for the fact of the language barrier oftentimes. Mm-hmm. So them having that kind of taken out of there and getting rid of that just adds up to our community being that much stronger and better and more profitable and all of these things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. They are your neighbors. They are your friends. And so just like you said, you know, working together, you can definitely make this community stronger. And, you know, we can work together and make it a stronger community, build it to become a better community for our future, because we want it to be great for our kids.
And Kazuha, I wanted to note one other thing, too, that I don't know if you noticed this or not, but going through your notes and talking a little bit about this with other people that have been in a similar job to yours and everything, I appreciate that you really see the gray areas in things. I think a lot of us are like, well what were the main what is the main question somebody would ask in this situation or something? You kind of get your bullet points and your main things to talk about. You're covering gray areas, snow removal, things like that. They're important stuff, but things we don't think about all the time. And you know, a lot of us are just, oh, that's just common knowledge, or, oh, we've experienced that. I immediately, as soon as you said that earlier, that example, my heart clenched up. I felt bad for that person. I was like, man, that ain't cool. Nobody should have to go through that. It's so cool to have a resource here to cover that gray area. As much as it is for all these other things, the classes and different things that are available, you're doing some really good work over there, and it's appreciated.
Thank you, James.
And we're looking forward to hanging out and getting to know each other more and talking more and more about this. You'll probably be back next month sometime or coming up soon. So we're looking forward to that and seeing what else you guys got going on over there and how these programs are developing and everything. Please do us a favor, and when you have like the Tai Chi for fall prevention and some of these things, a little more of the details of them, let us know. We'll spread the word about them on our morning shows and different opportunities. We'll make sure you get a good class, a good attendance for that.
Yeah, once it's all set in stone, we'll definitely share it with you.
Kazua, if people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, how can they reach you? How can they find out more?
They can email me at Kazua, Kazoua, .tau, T-H-A-O, at WISC.edu, or you can call the extension office. It is...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Thank you. It is 715-421-8502. That's my direct line, so definitely call that.
Yeah, I encourage you to do so, everybody. And again, I cannot thank you enough for the time. Thank you so much for joining us, Kazua.
Thank you for having me.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you. Be sure to join us tomorrow on the program, where in part one, we'll have State Senator Patrick Teston joining us, and then at 4:30, Caleb McGregor talking about Community Night Trivia here at WFHR, locally grown radio.